just talk to you just a few minutes here tonight about what God can do through you, what God can do through us. We all know that we are vessels, and we're just a channel, and God chooses to work through the instruments of men and women and young people, all different types of people. Sometimes it's those that are very talented and gifted. Other times it's just like you and me. We're just ordinary people, but we are vessels that belong to the Lord, and how that God wants to use you and flow through your life to touch the lives of people. And not only does he want to, but that's really God's plan for the church and God's plan for every believer, that we be in that place that we can better communicate Jesus to people that are all around us. Now, when you have read these, and I've read through 1 and 2 Timothy, I don't know how many times, but dozens and dozens and dozens of times over the years. Maybe, I don't really know how many times I have, but I always have appreciated 1 and 2 Timothy, because when I was a young man and a young preacher, it was just like he's talking right straight to me. Now that I'm a little bit older, I realize that this was a message to a young preacher, Timothy, who was like a spiritual son to Paul. But it wasn't just that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is all a message by the Spirit directly to all of us. So he spoke specifically here to young Timothy, but he also spoke to every one of us to be vessels. And the one we're going to read here, chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So he told Timothy, you have a place, you have a calling, and I want to use you to have an influence in our world for Jesus Christ. Is that something that's on your mind? Is that something that's on your heart? Am I doing what God called me to do? Am I effectively helping people to know about Jesus Christ? Well, it ought to be something that weighs upon the mind of every Christian, because we should be desirous of being in step with what God has called us to do and where he has put us to get the job done. Notice that he tells him, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. This was a specific calling to Timothy, but I think that we can see the broader message that's to all of us, and that is God's work, God's ministry and God's work requires effort. It requires energy. That's what work is. It's the use of energy to get something done, to be effective. It requires effort. It requires energy to be able to do the work of evangelism or whatever work that you're involved in as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So, but let me just call your attention to a few things here in this text. The first verse, He's relating to Timothy, and he's saying, Timothy, you're going to stand before God, the judge of the living and the dead. You're going to stand before God. So you need to be faithful to your duty. He was giving him a charge or a challenge. The charge was like pressing him on. It's giving him the nudge that he needed. This is You need to do the work you're called to do, Timothy. Remember, Timothy was backward, shy. He was timid. He had stomach problems, and he was just, it was hard for him. It wasn't a natural thing for him to preach or to carry on the ministry that he was called to do. So he was saying, Timothy, it may be difficult, but remember, here's the charge, the push that you need. You need to be reminded of the fact that if you don't fulfill the call of God, one day you're going to have to stand before God, and are your hands going to be empty? Are you going to have to say, Lord, I know you equipped me. I know you called me. I know you put me in a place where I could, and I'm sorry. My hands are empty. I'm not bringing any souls or any sheaves or any fruit of my labor. And so he told Timothy, and we need to be reminded of the fact that how we live our life, what we do with our time, and how we consider the work of the ministry and the work of the church. I'm like Sister Luwena. When church time comes, I never remember since I was just a small boy that there was ever a question of, are we going to church tonight on Wednesday night? Or Sunday night, or whatever the church night was. It was never a debate. It was never a question. Am I going? If I didn't go, it was the strange, terrible thing that happened. It was sickness or something just unforeseen that happened. That's the way I was raised. I was raised up that you just go to church. It's the thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It was kind of built into me as a pattern into my life, and I think that we should view that. You know, it's coming to church is not just a routine that we develop or a habit that we develop in our life, but we do what we do because we know that one day we will stand before God, and what are we going to say about opportunities that God has given to us that we did not take advantage of them? And so the challenge to him, or the charge to Timothy, is be sure that how you're living and what you're doing in your life is according to my plan for your life, because you will one day stand before God, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? That's a serious, serious thing for us to consider. What you do with your life, what you do with your gifts, what you do with your time, what you do with your money, what you do with all these wonderful things that God has given to you, one day we will stand before God. We will have to give an account. Amen. To Timothy, he said in verse 2, preach the word. Now some of you are thinking, oh, praise God, I'm off the hook, and that's just for the few that are called to preach. Not so. Not so. He was telling him to preach the word, and it just meant be a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus. Proclaim it. Talk about Jesus. Talk about his saving power. Be a proclaimer, a preacher. You know, maybe not necessarily in the pulpits, but a preacher where God has put you, on your job, in your neighborhood, to your lost family, to all of those that God has called you to be. He said, preach the word. Be a proclaimer of the gospel. And then he said, instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? Well, it just means when it's easy, when it's advantageous, when it's everything just kind of moves that direction and it just kind of flows. You do it then in season, and you also do it when it's hard, and you do it when it's unpleasant, and you do it when it would be easier to not do it, when times of trouble or adversity or when it's not an easy thing to do it. He says, be always a witness for Jesus Christ, always a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not easy when you're on a public job. It's not easier when you're around people who aren't interested in God or the things of God. But just remember, God, there are no accidents with God. And God has placed you right where you are and among the people that you are among. And what does he want you to do? He wants you to be a light to them. He wants you to be a bright light to them, to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, to not be afraid to talk to people about the Lord, or to be a witness for the Lord. Look for opportunities when it's in season, when the door is open, when someone is in need, and you can pray for them. I was in a place of business today, and they were asking me some questions, and they said, this one lady behind the counter said, "Do I know you? I think I know you. You look familiar to me." I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know you, I don't think." And I told her who I was, and then she said, "Okay, yeah, I know where that church is." And she said, I know about the school there." And then another lady on the next counter, she was listening to that, and she said, "I know you too. I know you too. I used to live in those apartments up there, and I was a little girl, 9 years old, and I played with Zach when he was a little boy." I said, "Really? Well, okay. I know you, both of you, I guess, somehow." And then another lady who was behind the counter, she was standing beside me, and she said, "Well, if you're a preacher, would you pray for my dad?" That's the one we prayed for tonight. "If you're a preacher, would you pray for my dad? He's in ICU." You see, the Lord gives us, he gives us sometimes seasons where it's just easy. It's just handed to you. The opportunity to talk to people about the Lord, or to invite them to church, or to be a witness. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's tough. Especially if you're among a bunch of cussers and vile people who could care less about God or the things of God. Sometimes it's a tough thing to stand up and be that person who is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's, he said, "Timothy, proclaim the word, be a witness for Jesus Christ," when it's easy, when it's not easy, when it flows and when it doesn't flow. When you have an open door and when the door is slammed closed, it doesn't make any difference in season, out of season. Take advantage of these times. Amen. By the way, it's rarely is it going to be convenient to do all the things that God wants us to do. Many, many times, it's a challenging thing to have to talk to people. Sometimes our families, it's the most awkward. And I've had this experience over the years where family didn't want to know anything. They wouldn't have anything to do. When I walk into the room, some of on my mom's side of the family knew I was a preacher, and things just got quiet and everybody kind of shuffled into another room because they just didn't want to have to deal with the preacher. But then later on, when the family start having crisis, and they find themselves in, you know, losing their loved ones, and they need someone to help them. And numerous times I've been called upon by that same family who said, "You know, we really don't know if we need you right now or not." And suddenly they do. And the season comes, the opportunity comes, and when the doors open, go through it. And let the Lord use you to influence people. Be a vessel. Be the person, the channel that God has a plan. And it's like I'm saying, just as a reminder to all of us here tonight, is that we think sometimes if we could just get in the best situation that we could really be a witness. But no, God's put you right where you are, in the neighborhood where you are. It's a little humorous because we have some scoundrels that live around here. Around the church, and sometimes here lately, it's, you know, getting woke up in the middle of the night and just loud banging and cussing. Just a week or so ago, I was woke up by a blood-curdling scream, and a lady was running down the street, and a guy was chasing after her, and he was just beating the tar out of her. And someone else was calling the police, thankfully, in the neighborhood. And it doesn't feel too good to get woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning by something like that out in the street, just down the street from your house. But we live right here in a place where there's so many people that are, and they're just a million miles away from God. And they need God bad. They need the Lord so desperately. So, Lord, help us to be the witness to them that the Lord has called us to be. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The word reprove means convince them. Convince them of their wrong. Convince them of what righteousness is all about and how to serve the Lord. Rebuke them. It means be a voice for truth. Be a voice for righteousness. God puts you where you are to stand up against those things. Amen. Right on the job where you are. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to act like that you're somebody better than them. You just have to be the light. Be the light. Be a testimony. A voice of truth for them. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. The word exhort means to call someone near, to call them near, to invite them to hear the message of Jesus. Verses 3 and 4 warn of the times that we're in right now. A time that's coming when people won't hear. They won't listen. They won't endure sound doctrine. The time is here. It's coming. And more we live in an age where people are rejecting Jesus, rejecting the message of salvation. And that's where we're at. Verses 3 and 4 describe that. But verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things. The phrase there, it means be sober, keep a clear mind. Don't get into anything that's confusing or distracting, but watch in all things. Stay on course for what I have called you to do. That's what he's telling Timothy. Stay on course. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that we shouldn't proceed. There are times when it is very hard to stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes you have to be all alone, even in your family. Sometimes you have to be all alone among coworkers or all alone among people that you're associating with. You may be the only Christian family that lives right in your particular neighborhood. I don't know if that's true, but I do know it doesn't matter if it's hard. Endure afflictions. Face the hard things, but don't let them stop you. Press on. That's what he was telling Timothy. Press on. Do the work of an evangelist. Put forth the effort. Put forth the energy to achieve the purpose of God in your life. Do it. Amen. I was watching a little YouTube testimony of a Baptist pastor out in a town that's a suburb of Baltimore, Maryland, which is not a very receptive area in the east to the gospel. But he had been a pastor on staff at a very large church. He's a young man, about 28 or 29 years old. And this church called and wanted him to come to be their pastor. And they had 35 people. They had a big building, but the church had just dwindled. And this young man, he went, but he said, my mind was made up. There's absolutely no way I'm going to go there. But he got into a meeting with some of the brothers, and one of the men said the tears were flowing down this man's face. And he said, we just need a pastor that has a vision and can help us. And it got a hold of that young man's heart, 28 or 9 years old. It got a hold of his heart, and he couldn't get driven out of the parking lot. But what he knew, it was God's voice. He knew it was going to be hard. He knew there was nothing easy about it. That area is pretty much a very socialist, liberal area and a very hard area for the gospel. But he just went to the church of 35 people. In the first year, he personally knocked on 900 doors in the first year. And he said, people usually reject that. They don't like people to come to their door. He said, out of 900, only one of them rejected him. Most of them said, well, we've never had a pastor come to our door before. We've never had anyone come to our door. And the Lord is beginning to turn the tide in that little Baptist church. It's such an encouraging testimony that you know, if you work at it, God can move. if we'll find our place and we'll be used of the Lord. Because you see, God puts you where you are, in that school where you are, or in that family where you are, or on whatever your job is, and in that specific work, where you are right now. God has put you there. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Don't be afraid to stand up for right. Now, obviously, we're to have a Christ-like spirit in all that we do, but be a righteous person. Stand up and be a righteous person. And you may face ridicule for standing for the truth, but just let the Lord use you. Be a vessel that He can use. Amen. Whatever and wherever that He's calling you, then you fulfill that. Do the work of an evangelist. Effort, energy, hard work. Then he says to Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. And it just means do your duty. Do what you've been called to do. Don't shirk. Don't neglect the call. Make full proof of your ministry. Live out the days of your life doing what God's called you to do. Amen. Not everybody's going to stand in the pulpit and preach. Most of our preaching needs to be where God puts us, in the place of business where I was today. Or maybe in places where God leads you and puts you and gives you the opportunity to be that person that cares for someone, that pours love, the love of Jesus out to people when they're suffering and they're grieving and they're going through sickness and they're look for ways and opportunities so that you can be that one that's going to pour out into the lives of people. Praise God. Make full proof of your ministry. No one wants to live out the days of your life and come to the end of your life and think, I never really got around to doing what God called me to do. Never got around to it. I think we all want to live our days so when we come to the close of our life, whenever that might be, when we come to the close, that it can be said, they were doing what God called them to do. They were fulfilling that ministry, that calling. So it's not just for young Timothy, it's for every one of us. Do the work of an evangelist. Be the vessel, be the witness, be the light that the Lord has called us everyone to be. Amen. And I just believe that it's the key to fruitfulness, to growth, advancing as far as the kingdom of God and as far as this local church is concerned. How does it grow? It grows because each individual is growing. Each individual is being used of the Lord to help people, to love people, to witness to people, and to bring them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I brought up Colonel Sanders earlier because I know that we're all getting older. I was visiting with Thelma earlier today. She's telling me how old she was. And Thelma Amberge. And we're all getting older, aren't we? The years are going by. And we are getting older. But that, instead of using that as a reason to step back and say, oh, I just can't because of this hindrance in my life, instead understand that in every phase of your life, God puts you where He wants you. Even in retirement. Amen. Even in retirement, He puts you in places and gives you opportunities in the latter years of our life so that we can fulfill God's plan. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do your duty. Do what you're called to do. Do what you're created to do in fulfilling God's purpose in your life. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we are involved, Lord, in the work of the kingdom. And Lord, a lot of times it is difficult. And there is a world, a society today that rejects God and rejects the truth. But Lord, help us, Lord, to do the work of the ministry in season and out. When it's easy, when it just seems to flow and the doors are just open. But Lord, help us when it's out of season, when things are difficult and challenging and we're up against it. Lord, help us to trust you. God, to use us no matter what, is going on in our life, we know it's your will, Lord, to use us for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, for each person in this service here tonight, Lord, that we would hear the voice of God, that we would heed the call of God. We'd say, yes, yes, Lord, I want to be that person. I want to be that person.